This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for staying with Philip C and myself, Khoo Soo Chong. Now, the fifth session of the 14th Parliament convened yesterday will run for 16 days until the 24th of March. And there's going to be a number of bills expected to progress in the sitting, including the Anti-Sexual Harassment Bill and the Independent Police Conduct Commission Bill, otherwise known as the IPCC. In addition to that, the government is also expected to table the long-anticipated Anti-Hopping Bill, as well as a bill on term limits for the Prime Minister.
This sitting will also see the appointment of a new Deputy Speaker to replace Sri Azali Othman, who resigned from the post in August last year to allow for the new government to reset the Dewan Rakyat. Following her resignation, there was a discussion of setting up a third deputy speaker post. Will these loose threads be resolved in this parliamentary sitting?
Well, to join us on the line, in fact, joining us on the line for thoughts on what to watch, we now turn to Ira Azahari, manager in the Democracy and Governance Unit of Ideas. Ira, good morning. Now, Parliament's convening during the pandemic has not been without controversy. How have SOPs for Parliament evolved, especially in light of the current Omicron wave?
Hi, good morning. Regarding the parliamentary SOPs, it seems to me that they have remained pretty much the same, with the sort of the plastic barriers separating the MPs for social distancing. And I guess the important thing is, what are the SOPs in place if someone does test positive, which, I mean, looking at the wave at the moment, it seems like that would be inevitable. And the other interesting or rather frustrating thing to me is, despite everything we have learned about COVID, and it's been more than 2 years now that we are living with the pandemic, it's notable that Parliament still has remained resistant to any sort of virtual or hybrid meetings. You would think that with the current infection rate, you know, Parliament can sort of go back into virtual or hybrid meetings. But they have not considered that. I'm really not surprised if there is another big infection spread in Parliament. It has happened before, so that can be quite disruptive. I just wonder why they haven't implemented these measures yet. It's been such a norm for the rest of the country, right?
Interesting that it's not being applied in our own parliament. But can I just get your perspective on the content? Because kicking off this parliamentary session was the King's address. Now, when you listened to his address, you know, what were the priorities that you could glean from his speech?
I think His Majesty's emphasis on the importance of combating corruption, I think, firstly, was quite interesting and encouraging. As we all know, our CPI score fell several places, and with all these new revelations about the 1MDB case, I think it is very timely. He also highlighted that the government is continuing their efforts to implement the National Anti-Corruption Plan, which is also quite encouraging, because I think the public hasn't heard about it for a while. So it's good that the King himself has mentioned it. And also, I think the other good thing was he emphasized upon the tabling of the Anti-Sexual Harassment Bill, which I think is extremely important. We know that that has been going on for some time. And although the women's groups have expressed concern about certain provisions, making it more inclusive, making the definition of sexual harassment broader. But I think this first step, I think, is really important. We've waited for decades, I think, for an act like this to exist. So I'm encouraged by those two things that you mentioned.
And so, Ira, you know, your perspective, when the King makes such a speech with these commitments to make these policies and convert them into acts, right, is this a done deal then? Like, do we assume it's all going to happen?
No, we cannot assume that it's all going to happen. But for me, the signaling or the symbolism, I guess, is important, because the King's speech is written by the government of the day. So that does outline what the priorities are by the government. So, when the King mentions these issues in his speech, it does signal that at least the government has these issues on their radar. Whether there is time or not to actually table, to actually debate all of these different issues is another thing altogether. I think we all know that our parliament doesn't sit as long as it should compared to some other Commonwealth countries. So that's another issue altogether. You know, parliamentary reforms has been something everyone has been talking about. for a long time. Our sittings need to be longer. Our MPs need to be more prepared in debating bills and so forth. But I do think this signaling by in the King's Speech is quite significant, coming from such a well-respected figure such as him. Yeah.
Yeah, Ira, why do you think those two omissions exist? Why is it that sittings are not longer, and why is it that, you know, parliamentarians are not better prepared?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you know, I think despite our institutions having existed for over 60 years now, I do think that in the past, maybe there has not been enough of a push, or there hasn't been enough awareness, I think, of just the general importance of parliament, of the role that our MPs are supposed to play in policy making and law making. But I think that awareness has shifted a bit after the 2018 elections. You know, so now I think people know what our MPs are supposed to do in parliament, firstly, and also you know, how the limitations that exist within our current system, where MPs don't get bills early enough. And, you know, more than that, I mean, very little consultation happens with civil society when it comes to important bills. So this is another issue. Why is it that, you know, as civil society, as the public, we don't really know what goes into these bills, and there's very little consultation there. So that's also another issue that needs to be fixed.
So Ira, let's just focus on the governance then of Parliament. One of the procedures that we're actually closely watching is the election of the Deputy Speaker, right, to replace Dato' Sri Azalina Othman, who resigned last August. So in your view, how do you think all this will play out?
I think this will be something that we need to watch closely. I think Dato' Sri Azalina was, I think, widely seen as quite a reformist deputy speaker. You know, she had a very no-nonsense attitude. And, you know, she was she was well known to, I think, be very vocal and be very outspoken about the importance of the independence of institutions, of, you know, the importance of the upholding the principles of our democracy. She issued a few statements, I think, regarding several issues while she was in office. So I personally think it is quite a shame that she resigned. But I think it's important and also interesting to see who will be elected to replace her. You know, I think the important thing is the person that's elected is, you know, as well-versed and as brave as Azalina in expressing their concern about, you know, whenever our parliament's integrity or independence is being compromised, you know. So I think that's the important part. And yeah, I mean, looking at how things are, the prerogative will be on the government of the day. They'll definitely have the advantage, right, on who they want to appoint as the deputy speaker. So I think that's something we should watch closely.
Yeah.
And
Naira, of the parliamentary reforms that you referenced earlier, this MOU between the government and Pakatan Harapan, do you expect any momentum along that front?
Well, I think one of the very important things about the MOU was the promise to table an anti-hopping law, which it seems like it is going to be tabled in this current session. So that's something that I think a lot of people are looking forward to. As civil society, I mean, ideas, we also don't know what's going to be in this bill, which I think is quite concerning, because it will have big implications, I think, on not just our political system, but, you know, political parties and, you know, how people perceive their elected reps to be. So, I think the government is prioritizing that, I think, because of the MOU, which is good. So I'm looking forward to that, but I'm a bit concerned that we don't know anything much about it, actually.
Yeah, but we've got 5 more months here, because the MOU expires July 2022. So what else is going to fall off that in tray then? Because 5 months isn't a lot, isn't it?
No, it's not. So the other issue about this MOU is that, you know, all these rumors about elections going to be called soon, in the middle of the year, possibly in July, you know, after the MOU expires, is also another thing. I mean, the MOU, I think, you know, I want to be optimistic about it, but I think, you know, it was put together, I think, in the spirit of introducing stability in our governance, which is good. But, you know, we know that it's not, it wasn't actually very inclusive. You know, there were parties that were excluded from it. And also we have heard that even though in the MOU, it was pledged that constituency development funds would be distributed equally, you know, there have been MPs, I think YB Maria Chin has expressed that, you know, she hasn't received this equal funding. So these are the little details that we need to be concerned about.
Right. Thank you so much. That was Ira Azahari, the manager of the Democracy and Governance Unit at IDEAS. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.